This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Today's edition of Bassmaster Radio is brought to you by Enigma Fishing. Cast, catch, repeat. And visit Anderson.com, South Carolina's bright spot and home to beautiful Lake Hartwell. And by the Bass Angler Sportsman Society, home for the greatest professional fishermen in the world and the Super Bowl of bass fishing, the Bassmaster Classic. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, in a college bracket event that leads to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, just visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the home button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Welcome to a special holiday edition of Bassmaster Radio, a Winning Ways edition featuring the winners of the past three events on the Elite Series before the boys head north next month. Brandon Cobb got it done in a big way on Lake Fork for Texas Fest, and he was downright giddy about his win, the Classic berth, and the Toyota Tundra he won for Big Bass, that 11-pound heifer he caught on day three, culling out an 8-pounder. And then the following week at Winya Bay, Stetson Blaylock was in the winner's circle, and he told us exactly how he did it. Then after an unexpected delay due to the high water at Fort Gibson, the series hit Gunnersville Lake, which did not yield a true Geeville giant, but a bunch of 4 to 5 pounders, and Jamie Hartman completed his comeback from missing a season with back issues by winning the $100,000 first prize before getting nearly blown off the stage during a North Alabama pop-up storm at the weigh-in. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock. It's a Happy Birthday America edition of Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. All right, we've had back-to-back winners, but Brandon Cobb went almost back-to-back with Stetson Blaylock in the middle. He won at Texas Fest, and he just absolutely crushed him. So he was back in the winner's circle. Here was our talk. Brandon Cobb, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think? You like that Commissioner of Big Bass, all these different nicknames that Mercer's giving you, the CEO Double B, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's like, I'm kind of, when I was at FLW side, there was a few different nicknames. They like almost tried to start, and I didn't like any of them, but this is a good one.
Yeah.
So I'm good with it.
Yeah, well, you're probably good with holding up those $100,000 checks a couple of times a month, too. I mean, Big Bass, big stage, big dreams. Certainly Big Bass for you. Could you dream of your first season on the Elite Tour that you'd win a couple of events by the halfway mark of the season? You'd have a couple of wins in a hopper?
No, absolutely not. There's no way you could. I mean, you always want to win, but, I mean, look, I've been fishing for 5 years now and never won a pro-level event, so.
Yeah,
it's been an unbelievable year so far. It's awesome, and you always want to win, but winning's one of the hardest things to everything has to go right, come together perfectly.
You know, when I texted you to set up the interview, I jokingly said, God, your arms must be tired from, you know, lifting those fish. But now when I think about it, you know, your arms must be tired from battling those fish. I mean, goodness gracious, that is just absolutely, it had to wear you out a little bit.
Oh, it did. That was the best fishing I've ever seen, like for practice and the whole tournament. I mean, there were certain days that were a little tough, but in general, it was unbelievable. And not to mention, I was worn out too from the way I was throwing that jerk bait. Yeah. I mean, I was really getting after the working it super fast, and it was awesome. But that lake is like the best I've ever seen. And the bad thing is from what after the tournament, from what I heard from some of the locals down there, it gets even better than that. Yeah. Like once the fish get deep and grouped up, it's hard to believe, but apparently it does.
And the thing is, too, it's only 27,000 acres. And just to kind of put that in perspective for people that are listening, that's like a third of the size of Gunnersville, for example, where you'll go next. So we'll get to that in a moment after the Fort Gibson postponement. But, so it's much smaller than Hartwell. It's not a huge body of water, but it's like there's fish everywhere.
Yeah, it really, and that's what I didn't even look at one half of the lake. I kind of split the lake in half when I got there because it fishes bigger than it is because of all the trees. If it was just an open lake, like say Hartwell or somewhere, you could see the whole lake in one day of practice, you know.
Yeah.
But with all the trees, it actually takes a while to get around, and I think that it actually makes it fish a little bit better because it doesn't get pressured so bad, and there's like you kind of have to sit and fish a little bit and idle around. So I kind of pretty cool place.
Yeah, no, it is a cool place. There's no doubt about it. And you made it even cooler by the damage that you did. The 37 pounds on day three. I mean, you think about that. And my personal best is 27 pounds, and that was at Gunnersville. And I remember like shaking off 5-pounders when it got to the boat. I'm like, oh, that's not gonna help. That's not gonna help. And that's kind of what it turned out to be with you. I saw you throwing back a four and a half like it was nothing, and this was before the cancellation of or the postponement of Fort Gibson. I was thinking, man, in 2 weeks that'd be like the best fish you catch. If you get a 4.5-pounder, you'd be in great shape, and here you're shaking them off like the trash fish.
So the third day, I had 37 the third day, but the last day, actually, I only had, I say only. Well, 29-15. that last day was unbelievable. The day I had 37, I pretty much like, I think I caught 2 or 3 more 4-pounders.
Yeah.
But that last day, I don't even know how many 4-pounders I caught, and 5.
Yeah.
Because I had all 6-pounders pretty much by weigh-in, and I was actually hooking them and pointing my rod to them and trying to just like crank them in real fast and skip them across the water, 4 and 5-pounders, so that I could unhook them to throw back and catch a bigger one.
Now, when you caught that 11-pounder, I mean, that's the biggest fish ever seen on Bassmaster Live, and it was so stunning to see. And I joked that you honk back on that thing and it pulls you back. I mean, you're not a huge guy. You're not like you're not like Quentin Capo or one of those guys. You're not one of these big guys. It looked like for a moment that fish almost pulled you, you know, into the water. It was that hard of a, you honk back and it's almost like, oh my God, I got a cinder block.
It was. But I've caught a lot of 8s and then a couple 9s, but I've never leaned into a fish that felt like that when I did. It didn't even move. When I set the hook, you know, normally you bed fish, you see them in the water, you set the hook, you kind of roll them up on their side and their mouth opens up. I set the hook on that one and he was still facing away from me after I set the hook.
Yeah.
He didn't even move.
That was crazy. That's what I said. It looked like he was going to jerk you back in. And then, of course, you already had a 24-inch, you had an over, as they call it there. You're only able to bring one fish in over 24 inches. You had one in the live well. And you had to call out an 8-pounder, and I'm sitting there, and I look at it, and you have the 8-whatever, and you got the 11-1, and you're holding those two fish up for this picture that will go viral. It'll be a famous picture. It's at Bassmaster.com and everywhere else in the fishing community. And I'm, my God, he's holding up 20 pounds. It was like, it's a 20-pound stringer, and he's got two fish in his hand. I mean, that was, it's surreal. It's like fantasy world.
It was. That day was like the weirdest day. So I caught the 11, and then at that point, you know, I'm like, I'm done. I've got an 11-pounder. I've got my smallest fish now is a 4. Like, I don't even know what else we can do. I just need to go back, you know. And I'm kind of just trolling down the bank, talking to my fans behind me.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, done. Like, I'm not going to fish anymore. I'm going to go back. And I look down, and there's a 5-5, and I catch it in, like, 3 casts.
And you had a couple of doubles, two or three doubles as well. Mm-hmm. And we saw some others that were on live, which is just when that starts happening, you're like, okay, this is stupid. This is nuts. But have you, outside of an Alabama rig, which of course is not legal on tour, but how often have you had that happen where you've had two fish on a jerkbait or on something like that?
Believe it or not, it's actually, I've done it a good many times around here, Hartwell, and the lakes with herring in them around here, they school so frantically most of the summer that I've done it quite often. But it was that's one of the first times I've done it outside of like the Savannah River chain and Hartwell with all the herring.
Yeah. The dual hardcore minnow flat 110 SP jerkbait, they're gone. Mm-hmm. We can't find those anywhere. As soon as people saw you were catching, we're all going to Tackle Warehouse and the various places to try and buy some of them. You can't get them anymore.
Well, I'm out now, so anybody listening to the show, if I need them for Gunnersville, I might need you to send me one.
You might need that swim bait that you borrowed. Tell us about that swim bait. Do you got any of those left? Are you going to be able to find those before you get to Gunnersville?
Yeah, I do have a few of those. I think did figure out what brand that is, because that was some of Shane's that he gave me.
Yeah.
It didn't really play that first day. So I caught them on the jerk bait really, really good the first day. And then they kind of quit biting. And I picked the swim bait up and was able to catch two really big ones after they quit biting.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that was going to be like the routine the rest of the week. That's why I want to get some more swim baits. I was like, well, if I can catch them real good on the jerk bait, and then just if I can get one or two more big bites on the swim bait every place, that'd be huge,
Yeah.
And then I don't think I ever caught another one. Right?
Well, Ronnie Moore and Mark Zona and myself were texting back and forth during that. We were throwing out different manufacturers and brands of what that swim bait was. I know what I thought it was. They were like, no, there's no way it's that. And then I think I know now what it is. I think we got it narrowed down. Do you want to mention the company? I mean, what is it?
We believe it's a fringe.
Oh, is it? Okay. We thought it was an osprey. That's what we thought it might have been an osprey, but okay.
Yeah. Shane, he looked it up that night and he said he's pretty confident it's a fringe. He actually bought them in a local tackle store back in North Carolina.
And he
didn't even have them. He didn't even have them. Like, he didn't buy them for Texas. He just had them.
Did you actually drive the Tundra back, or did your wife bring that back, or what happens with the Tundra now? Now you got one of those.
I talked to Toyota yesterday. We're actually probably going to wait until the late summer season, fall, for me to get it to order what I want. So
nice, beautiful. Well, congratulations! Congrats on the win. If you come on the show any more times, I'm going to have to start paying you like an appearance fee or something like that. But keep winning, and you keep coming on. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
That was Brandon Cobb after the win at Lake Fork. Now, our next winner was Stetson Blaylock at Winyah Bay. We'll have that for you next, right here on a special edition of Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio. I'm the Bassmaster Radio Network. I'm Tom Abraham. This is a special edition of Bassmaster Radio, kind of a Winning Ways, the radio version, if you will. And just heard from Brandon Cobb off his win at Hartwell. The boys then headed to Winyah Bay, where Stetson Blaylock raised the blue trophy. We had a nice conversation with Stetson. Here is our conversation. Stetson, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Do you take the blue trophy like around with you and stuff? I know you're doing your thing with the Ultimate Match Fishing this weekend, No Rest for the Weary. Did you take it with you to just kind of like put it on the front deck so like Keith Combs and the other competitors could just look at it?
I know for me, we follow each other pretty closely, and I think just winning, it's enough. It's funny. My boy, he's six, and he's asked me every tournament, did you get a blue trophy? Did you get a blue trophy? And I'm like, no, not this week. And then, at Hartwell, they were there and finished second there. And when I walked off the stage, the very first thing he said was, did we get the trophy this time?
Oh, man.
And I said, no. I said, no, buddy, not this time. And so it was that was absolutely the most special thing for me, without a doubt, was him being there and me getting to, you know, look at him and tell him that we got the trophy this time.
Your whole family there, too. I mean, your wife, daughter. I mean, and this is like totally different, I would imagine, back in 09 when you won. You're like, yeah, this is no big deal. I'll be doing this all the time. And these things are hard to win, you know. It reminds me of like Dan Marino in the Super Bowl. Yeah, these things are really tough to win. But what a different guy you are with your whole family up on stage with you, you know, in 2019 as opposed to 2009.
Absolutely, yeah. We, if I remember correctly, me and Lindsay weren't even married then. We didn't get married till that fall. And so yes, we had been together for several years. Yes, we were, you know, already pretty much family. But it's just different when you have kids and when they look up to you and they know what you're doing. They know what your job is and they know how hard that you work and how much sacrifice that not only you have to give up, but them also. And as a family, it's just, it's a lot of challenging times and a lot of hard fought battles to finally come out victorious and get that trophy that you worked so hard for. It's pretty special.
Stetson Blaylock with us talking about his win coming at Winya Bay. And it's, as he said, coming off of a second-place finish at Hartwell. So South Carolina, very good to him. And, you know, with an eighth-place finish at Lanier as well. I mean, look, if it was just a little stronger at the St. John's, you'd probably be sitting on top of that AOI. But you're right there with these other guys. It feels like it's going to be a race for St. Clair here the rest of the way.
You know, it's one of those things that you can always look back and say, yeah, if I would have or I should have. And I had some great opportunities in Florida that I let get away. But that bad finish and that bad start, I think, is part of what sparked, you know, the last three tournaments. Just, you know, getting the mindset of, I'm not going to let this happen again. We're not going to have a year like this. And just, you know, putting your head down and not worrying about, you know, what you've done the last couple of years and how poorly that I've fished and how I started the year this year. And you can't look at those, you know, those bad tournaments and bad years and judge yourself and your performances by that. You just got to keep your head down and, you know, stay focused, stay positive, and, you know, let your fishing do the talking and just work your way back in.
Take us back to Winya Bay now on Sunday, because, you know, you're sitting there, you got Corey Johnson right there with you, you know, you're coming in. It's you had that huge bag on day three, 17-15 on day three. I think it was the biggest bag of the tournament. And then here you are on Sunday coming in with 9-3, and it's got to feel like you got nothing when you're coming in. How concerned are you at that point in time that maybe this thing has slipped through your hands, not knowing that Scott Canterbury came busting up the list at you, as opposed to Corey or Jay Willie or any of those guys?
Yeah, I think for the people that watched Bass Live all day Saturday or all day Sunday, and for when you see this show, you're going to think, man, that guy had no idea. And that's it. I mean, it was the weirdest championship Sunday that I've ever fished, just because I really thought by about 10:30 and I didn't have them in the bag that I had given the tournament away. And it wasn't until we were standing there in the weigh-in line and getting ready to pull our boats through in front of the stage that I realized that everybody struggled except one, and that there was going to be two or three of us within ounces of each other. And, you know, you start doing that math in your head and thinking about all the fish that you lost and the ones that I passed up some bed fish that would have helped me a little bit, and just looking for bigger fish, thinking I needed so much more weight. It's pretty crazy to fish all day thinking you had given it away and then to stand there at the end and go, wow, this actually really might happen. It's a crazy feeling to not go out there and shut the door early and just know you've got it won, but yet you struggle all day long and you have to persevere through so many small fish and just not getting those quality bites and just the demons in your head telling you that it's over and that, you know, not, you know, look what you did again. And, you know, you had an opportunity and let it slip through your fingers. It's just so rewarding to come in and see that, not that everybody struggled, but that, you know, there is still hope. And then to win that tournament that, you know, you struggled so hard on that final day, it's, gosh, it feels so good to not let that one slip away.
Stetson Blalock with us talking about the victory at Winya Bay. Let's talk about how you got it done as well. Do a little technique of the week here with you. You gave us some great topwater action. I mean, we saw on live some tremendous topwater action, but you did most of your damage with the Yum Dinger. Talk about how you rig it and, how you like to use, what kind of line you're using, whether you're, how much of a leader and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was using a 5-inch green pumpkin Yum Dinger, and I mean, it's the most basic of the basic rig that you can throw. I put a 1/32 tungsten nail in the end of it. I have an O-ring on it, and I was using a 1/0 Gamakatsu G Finesse, a drop shot hook, and then on one rig, and then I had the new weedless wacky finesse hook on the other. And I was throwing that on. I usually throw it on 8, but I was throwing it around a lot of cover, so I was throwing it on 10-pound Seaguar and Vizx fluorocarbon, about a 7-foot leader. I choose to throw a shorter leader when I'm fishing shallow. Mm-hmm. And then I had that tied to 20-pound Seaguar Smackdown braid. I was throwing the new Flash Green. And let me tell you, that combination is deadly. And I was throwing it on a 610 medium light spinning rod. And the reason I choose that softer rod is just because you don't really know what's going to happen when you hook one of those fish. And I want to be able to I want my rod to do the fighting. We, 13 Fishing has an awesome new 610 medium light, Envy Black, and it is bad to the bone when it comes to fishing that wacky rig around cover. And just being able to have the rig, have the confidence, and get some bites, and it all works together in your favor. It just really builds the confidence in what you're using.
And that Seaguar Flash Green line, I've used that some just recently. It's amazing how good you can see it. I thought it was just me, like I'm getting old, I'm 58, and I can't see anymore, and I can't hardly see the darker green line. But apparently this is something that a lot of guys, even younger guys like you, deal with, and that Flash Green is really something.
Yeah, the whole key to that bright line is just being able to keep in not in contact with it, but actually visualize where that line is at. I'll watch my line a lot. When I skip a wacky worm around up in that shallow cover, I'm going to lay that line on the water and watch it. And a lot of times you'll see it pop, or you'll see it jump, or you'll see it fall in a certain speed, and then it'll stop. And all those are, key signs that one bit it or one has it. And there's no telling how many fish I've caught that I never even felt them bite, but I saw my line move. And so that Flash Green is a huge key to being successful with that wacky worm.
Why the O-ring? A lot of guys debate it. They do you go O-ring? Do you go, just stick the worm? But why do you like the O-ring?
I personally like it, one, because you go through fewer baits. Two, because when you have a nail in it, it falls straight to the bottom and your hook point's standing up. And to me, it's a little bit less, it's a little bit more weedless. And to me, it hooks fish a lot better.
So you're kind of hopping that along then if you have that nail weight in it. It's not like you're fishing it fast back like you would floating or without any weight.
No, and I think that's a key, has been a big key to my success over the last, not only Hartwell and Winya Bay, but also my first day at Lanier, I caught a really nice stringer the first day, and all of them were on that. And it's the exact same rig, exact same setup. And I think that biggest key to that is that rate of fall. A lot of guys, opt to fish it slower, and they feel like they get more bites when it's falling a lot slower. But I'm the opposite. I like that bait to get down there and get down there fast.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you're not going to be running much 8 or 10-pound leaders and spinning gear and stuff like this when you get to Lake Fork for Texas Fest, which is going to be a meat fest. Could be a 100-pound tournament. You've had success at this lake. You've had success at Fort Gibson, which I think you had a second or something like that in an open there. So you've had success on these lakes, these bodies of water that are coming up. You got to feel pretty good as you get ready to head a little bit, at least stay in the central time zone here, coming up in the next couple of events.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been a guy that doesn't look too far ahead. I want to take it one day at a time, one event at a time. And, to be honest with you, I'm focusing on this ultimate match fishing deal before I even start thinking about Fork. And as soon as it's over, as soon as I'm done here, my focus will immediately go to Fork and preparing for that place. And I know I've got a lot of history there. I've spent a lot of time on that lake. And that doesn't mean you're going to catch them. But the comfort level's there coming off of a win, a second place, another top 10. you know, I'm really, really comfortable in the way things have been going, and just even Gunnersville, those places are I'm familiar with, and it's just better when you kind of have some idea what's going on and what to expect, and I'm ready to go. Can't wait.
Stetson Blaylock there off of his...
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, on the Bassmaster Radio Network. Time for our Winner's Circle interview, and this is always a lot of fun to do this, and we're going to do it with a guy that, like me, came from upstate New York. I mean, he came from that part of the country. He lives over in Arkansas now, and he got it done on Gunnersville, and of course, that is Jamie Hartman, and he joins us now. Jamie, welcome in, and congratulations on the win.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Boy, you take it back to when you hit the scene, when you hit the bass scene, and you were finishing in the top 10. It seemed like every week, every tournament, you were right there. Then the back issues. Take us through that season when you had to sit out, and if you thought, you know, how long will it be till you have this opportunity and a chance to win like this?
Well, that was one of the hardest times of my life. You know, it was. Man, it set me back pretty good. I worked so hard for so many years to get where I was, you know, to qualify for the Bassmaster Elite Series, the top of the top tier, you know, and I got there in 17 finally, and took that plunge and had a great season. And then we went into the 2018 season, and I got midway through. I struggled with some sciatic issues going into the last two or three events, and it got worse and worse. And then, you know, it finally got to its breaking point, and it put me right out, literally within – it was just a few days. It took me out, and I wasn't even able to walk, sit, stand, anything. Yeah. And that shut my season down, and it was one of the hardest phone calls I've ever made and decisions I had to make to take the hardship policy with Bassmaster. So I missed the last four events. I made five that year, you know, missed the last four. And it was rough. I mean, that's all I can say is it was very rough. It's a long time. Ruptured disc. Completely ruptured disc, took a long time to heal, but I did heal it. I did it on my own. Everything worked out great, no surgery, and we're back in the swing. I mean, I did a lot of stuff to recover from that.
Yeah.
Exercises, stretches, lost a bunch of weight, got myself in shape, and I looked forward to the 2019 season. Took me a little bit to get back into the swing of things. The first couple tournaments were a little rough, but after that, I self-checked myself again and just, you know, got myself back on the right track. And here we are. It paid off. Lake Gunnersville, Alabama, yeah. Man. It was like a dream come true. It's the highest point of my career, without a doubt.
You know, Friday of the tournament, I did my show out there on location, and one of the topics that we talked about was the professional fisherman as an athlete, and some people not understanding, you know, what it takes for you guys and the pounding that you take out there 7 days and so on. And of course, you're in that beautiful Nitro Z21 that handles that heavy water that Gunnersville, you know, can get pretty rough when the wind's going one way and the current's going the other way, and it helps it for you. But you came back with a different body. I mean, you were a different-looking dude when you came back. And obviously did a lot of work to put yourself in shape to handle these rigors.
Yeah, I did. Eating right. I really started to eat right, take a lot of anti-inflammatory foods. And if you can keep that down in your body, you lessen the pain and the agony and, you know, the soreness. So that's all part of it now. No carb, no sugar diet. And everything's working out great. I'm ready to go. Yeah, I walked myself back on there, and I couldn't believe the – you know, just from being 1 year ago, almost within the week of how I was then to how I am now, I was just jumping around like a 21-year-old kid. So I felt great.
yeah. And that nitro handle, that heavy water, nice getting back in and, you know, some of the runs that you had to make out there.
Oh, it always does. That's, hands down, I would never run a different boat. I've been in other boats. I've tried other boats. This is the one I selected, hand selected, and it just happened to be, you know, I got on with Bass Pro staff and Nitro Boats, and everything has worked out absolutely perfect. That boat treats me very well, especially with that new Mercury on the back. That thing runs. It's fun to drive. It's just literally fun to drive. I love getting out on it.
I fished an Eastern Open with Jason Williamson and his, and I was just stunned the way that boat handled that heavy water over on Chickamauga as well. Jamie Hartman with us talking about his win at Gunnersville. And, boy, one of those special days. You go into the championship Monday in 10th place. Of course, just the top 10 in the championship Monday. And, boy, you get on them in a stretch we call the Miracle Mile, that stretch north of Goose Pond and get into that grass just off the main river channel. Talk about how you found that spot and how you just lit them up on top waters and ultimately a 23-pound plus bag on championship day for five fish. It's just a spectacular, almost a 5-pound average. But that was just one of them special moments, and to do it on top is just incredible.
Yeah, it was. It was a spot that I fished all week. Found it in practice, found it on the first day of practice. Randomly, stuff just looked good. I just kept hopping down the stretch, down the grass line, and I was actually throwing a football jig at the time, fishing the drop off and some of the shallower stuff. And I had come across it, and my first pitch throw into there, I caught a 5-something, and it spit out a great big gizzard shad, and it was everywhere, it was all over my boat. So I figured I analyzed the little area, and I made another throw back, and I got another bite, and I shook it off. So I left the area, and it just looked different from everything that I had covered. You know, up and down that thing within 2 miles, that little spot just seemed different to me. And I went to check it on day two. There was a bunch of boats around. I left it alone, never pulled in on it. Day three, I got out there real early. I went right to it, made 2 casts and shook 2 really heavy fish off. And I said, there's something there. And I felt what was on the bottom. And I quickly analyzed what it was. And it was exactly what I thought it was. It was a shell bed with a cut in the grass. So they pushed gizzard shad up on there. It must be. And, you know, the first few days were tough because it was very slick and calm. I made a couple bait adjustments then. It worked out. And by that third day, when we started, it was very windy, very cloudy, and I pulled a rod out of my box that just came across as an instinct. As a fisherman, we all get these feelings.
Yeah.
It said, I've got to throw something that's going to have some noise, and it's going to spit some water, and it's going to make some commotion in the waves and the dark clouds, and that happened to be a topwater bait, walking bait. And it was probably the best choice I made all week because I never threw it until that final morning, and they ate it up. And it was on fire, 21-something pounds in the first hour.
Did you even retie that thing? I mean, it was just like tied up from Lake Fork, just hanging out in your boat and everything. Did you even cut it off or retie it, or did you just start firing it?
I just started firing it. It was still tied on from Lake Fork. It was what... I caught them out at Lake Fork. I trust it. You know, I've got 30-pound high seas braid, and I've got a 10-inch leader with 20-pound high seas fluorocarbon.
Wow.
It's a, you know, I looked at the knot. I looked at the other knot. I said, this baby's good to go. And I caught every one of them on it, and it's still tied up.
that is incredible deal that you did there. And just talk about the Lowrance electronics and your ability to determine what that was different about that site, because those of us that fish Gunnersville a lot, it's just miles and miles of that grass. I mean, you see it, and it can be overwhelming, especially as this year goes on and more of it comes towards the surface. And that grass off the main river channel is everywhere, and it's hard to determine, you know, where something different would be. Talk about how important your electronics is in finding that little sweet honey hole.
Yeah, I mean, I've run up and down that thing, and I, you know, running that Lowrance, I got the C-Map chip, and I got that several days before the event, and I sat on that deal and studied it for hours. I probably got 4 hours, 5 hours of staring at that screen moving around the whole lake, and I found a whole bunch of stuff that I never knew was there when I went and drove around it before with the Navionics chip. So the C-Map really made stuff pop out. A lot of those areas that I ended up fishing were because of the C-Map. So all the offshore stuff, I grasped my Lowrances. I found a couple different schools, which dissipated on me because of the slick weather. I guess they were wind dependent. And, you know, when I was going down that stretch over there, I noticed something different on my side scan also. I don't want to get too much into specifics, but man, if you got a stretch, it's always something different that sticks out. If there's something, you know, everybody knows as a fisherman, if you've got a straight stretch and all of a sudden you've got a little point of grass that comes out and comes back in, there's your high percentage area. Well, it's the same thing if you got an indentation. It's a high percentage area. Those are the little things to look for, and that's what I came across, and that's what I found, and it really paid off. And, you know, I ran back across it. I idled with my structure scan, and I seen something else that would lead the fish into it, which I was like, this is the perfect storm right here. Yeah. And it certainly was.
Jamie Hartman with us, winner $100,000 at Gunnersville. Speaking of a perfect storm, I mean, you didn't even get that real good glory moment at the weigh-in. Did they even give you, a storm came through, for those of you who didn't see it, a massive storm, 40-mile-an-hour winds, almost blew the stage over, and Dave Mercer did a great job rushing everybody through at the very end. Now, you got the blue trophy. Did they give you the big check? I mean, did you even get a chance to hold the big check up at all, or what?
No, I did not. No, it was really, really quick. The check would have been ripped out of my hands anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, they put it on the scale. Everything happened so fast. I had no idea I won. I didn't know what the second place guy, Matt Airy, I didn't know what he needed.
Yeah.
And I seen it come across the deal and they hit his weight and he didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
And so I pointed at myself. I said, me? And Trip Walden turned around and pointed at me and says, you're the winner. I didn't even think, really. I was in awe. Like, I never, never expected it to come back out of 10th place to first. And they handed me the trophy, and Mercer said, everybody, please take cover. Take cover immediately, seek shelter. And boy, did he mean it, because within just a couple minutes, I don't know if it was a small hurricane, tornado. I don't know what it was, but it tore that place up in minutes.
Yeah, the water spout came flying through there. And again, those around Gunnersville are familiar with those little things that will kick up for sure. And in our final moment, final minute, you head north now. Got to have a lot of confidence going up there. St. Lawrence River, Cayuga Lake, and then, of course, after the trip back down to Oklahoma over to the AOI, which at this point with you in 18th place, pretty good shape to be there as well. You got to feel pretty good, though, heading north in your position in the standings.
Yeah, I do. I'm looking forward to it. I got through, I said I got myself back up there in the standings, and then Gunnersville was on the list for next. And I said, man, if I can just get through this event, I should be okay, either maintaining or, jumping up a little more in the standings. We'll see.
Yeah.
New York is an open book. There's so many fish, so many different ways to catch them, especially on the river up there. And everybody does catch them. It showed out every time we've been there with huge numbers. So it's an open book, honestly. It comes down to a couple of the bigger fish that, allow somebody to take that trophy from there.
Yeah, well,
I'm looking forward to it. I need to go catch some smallmouth.
Yeah.
I've been chomping at the bit and shaking a little bit, trying to get back up there to catch some brown fish.
I got a feeling that the Hammer Hartman is going to get it done up there as well. Jamie Hartman has been our guest. Jamie, again, congratulations. Maybe we'll be talking again, Winter Circle. Appreciate you, though, and go get them.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back and wrap it up next. Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Well, segment of Bassmaster Radio, and as we add this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Visit Bassmaster.com to sign up and play Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. Individual elite winners will receive a $2,500 gift card to Bass Pro Shops, and one grand prize winner will win a 2019 Nitro Z18 with a Mercury 175. Plus, Fantasy Fishing winners who are BASS members when they set their team will win an additional $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card. Sign up at BassmasterFantasy.com. While you're at the site, click on Sweepstakes for your chance to fish with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Hunter Shryock. The winner gets round-trip airfare, three nights hotel accommodations, a rental car, and a $500 gift card from Field & Stream. Plus, a prize package including a Phoenix 618 Pro XP bass boat with a Mercury 150, Lowrance HDS Live 7 with active imaging 3-in-1, a PowerPole $500 gift certificate, plus gear from Abu Garcia, Berkeley, Spiderwire, and much more. Bass is also offering fishing fans a chance to win a new Toyota Tacoma pickup truck in its Ultimate Tacoma Sweepstakes contest. The grand prize winner will receive a 2019 Toyota Tacoma TRD off-road truck with genuine Toyota accessories and other accessories packages from manufacturers, all with a total value of over $43,000. The contest runs through September 29th. Find both of these sweepstakes at bassmaster.com/sweepstakes. Let's take a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. The BassPro.com Eastern Open is next up at the James River. That's July 25th through 27th. I'll be fishing in that one. I hope to see you out there. The BassPro.com Bassmaster Central Open at the Mississippi River is out of La Crosse, Wisconsin, August 1st through 3rd. Then it's the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series Championship presented by Bass Pro Shop, also August 1st through 3rd. That is at Lake Chickamauga in Dayton, Tennessee. The Bassmaster Junior Championship will be at the Carroll County 1,000-acre Recreational Lake in Huntington, Tennessee, August 6th through 7th. And then it's the Mossy Oak Fishing High School Championship presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors at Kentucky Lake, August 8th through 10th. The Berkeley Bassmaster Elite at the St. Lawrence River, sure to be a meat fest, is August 15th through the 18th. And then it's the Site 1 Bassmaster Elite at KU Lake. That will be August 22nd through the 25th. And the College Classic Bracket is at Watts Bar Lake in Spring City, Tennessee. That's August 27th through the 29th. If you're interested in having a front row seat to an elite event, priority registration is now open for the Bassmaster Marshall Program. Just visit bassmaster.com/elite for more information. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.